Do you feel like you need God's encouragement and wisdom throughout the week to take hold of His promise to fly like an eagle? You come to the right place. Welcome to Eagles on the Hill. Let's join our host, Pastor Jeff Scheich.
Hey, people, I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Scheich. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the podcast. Today, we're going to do what we've done couple times before, and that is get into the commandments. Specifically today, we're going to talk about the third commandment, which if you've heard previous podcasts on the commandments, you know that different groups number the commandments differently because they're not numbered in the Bible. So we're going to talk about the Lutheran third commandment, the Roman Catholic third commandment. This is the fourth commandment in the Jewish numbering, and you can go check out my other podcast on commandments. If you go to my YouTube channel, Eagles on the Hill, just search for Eagles on the Hill, which you should be searching anyway. You should be subscribed there anyway. You should be liking these. That way other people will get to see them as the algorithms and YouTube bump it up higher. But in any case, go to Eagles on the Hill, check out the commandments playlist. And one of the podcasts that I've done there, one of the YouTube recordings I've done, tells you about the different numberings of the commandments and why I believe very strongly, it seems to me obvious, that the Jewish numbering of the commandments is correct. Nevertheless, since I'm Lutheran, we're doing the Lutheran third commandment. Here it is. Well, I should see. Do you know what it is? All right, here it is. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And Martin Luther gives an explanation of that in his small catechism. And of course, because we are Lutherans, we want to highlight that here right at the beginning, although I think it is a little bit lacking in some of the way we understand the commandment. But anyway, here's Martin Luther's explanation. We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. So that is Luther's explanation to the third commandment. That explanation focuses on the preaching, the hearing of God's word. And yet, if you look into the scriptures where the commandments are actually given, there's other emphases as well that we don't want to miss. Not that Luther has it wrong. Certainly, the third commandment involves worship, what we call rose at Christ Lincoln, being in rows on a Sunday morning, hearing God's word, being in circles with other people gathered around God's word, dots, we call dots, being in God's word on your own. So we don't want to despise God's word. We want to be in it, realizing that it is the word of God. But nevertheless, there's more to this commandment than only the word of God, as if that wasn't enough. So let's check out what God says in where the commandments are given. They're given twice, once in Exodus and once in Deuteronomy, the second giving of the law. So let's take a look at Exodus first. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 to 11. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And then God gives an explanation for why he gives the Sabbath commandment. He says, 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So in the book of Exodus, this first giving of the law of what we call the Ten Commandments, God grounds this day of Sabbath rest in creation. And so he says it's because God created the world in 6 days, rested on the seventh day. We are created in God's image. Therefore, we should work 6 days and rest on the seventh day. That's why we have the Sabbath commandment. When you think about it, it's kind of amazing, actually, that all around the world, the whole world, as far as I know, maybe with the exception of some tribes I haven't heard of, functions, the whole world functions on a seven-day week. And yet, that unit of time, a seven-day week, is not based on anything in creation. It comes to us from outside of creation, from God himself. Think about it. The unit of time that is a day, that comes to us from creation. It's one rotation of the earth. That's a day. The unit of time that is a month, it's essentially one revolution of the moon around the earth. So the moon goes from a full moon, and I'm not a scientist, all this, full moon, new moon kind of thing, back to full moon. When you get from a full moon to a full moon or whatever, that's a month, basically. I know it's not exactly a month. I know that you don't have to write me about that, but you get the idea. Or a year is one revolution of the Earth around the sun. And so that makes up a year, and we have to adjust that slightly, leap years and all that kind of stuff. But you get the point. Days, in other words, days, months, and years, those units of time are all based on creation. And then, of course, hours and minutes are all basically days divided into little sections. There's nothing in creation that would indicate that there would be a week, a 7-day week, followed by another 7-day week. There's nothing in creation that says that should happen. And yet it does around the world. And where does that come from? Well, that comes from the book of Genesis, then into Exodus. God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. And so that's where you get that kind of rhythm from. Now, the second time the law is given is in Deuteronomy, the second giving of the law. And the Sabbath commandment is listed there, but it is given a different rationale. So let's take a look at Deuteronomy 5, verses 12 to 15. And this is really, really important. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. By the way, the word holy, it literally means set apart. So set apart the Sabbath day. Same thing in Exodus. All right, here we go. Here's the explanation of why. Deuteronomy 5, verse 13. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, male or female servant, not your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your town, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Here we go. Remember, this is going to be different now than Exodus. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. So, the point of that is that the Sabbath is grounded in the Exodus, which is different than what is said in the book of Exodus. That doesn't mean one is wrong or the other is right. That does not the point. But the point is God gives two reasons why there is this setting apart of the Sabbath day. And I love the one in Deuteronomy. I love the one in Exodus. But the one in Deuteronomy is great because the Sabbath is a weekly reminder that God has called us to be free. They were freed from slavery in Egypt, a slave in Egypt. For how many hundreds of years were they slaves there? They were there 400 years. How many of that were they were enslaved? I don't know. But a slave works 7 days a week in and week out until they finally die. When we are freed from slavery, God freed them from slavery. He said, as a reminder, every week that you are freed from slavery, you should not work on the Sabbath day. Thus, that commandment is different. The rationale is different in Deuteronomy. And so, there's a lot of talk. In fact, I've done, I think, a podcast or two about slavery in the Bible. God doesn't outlaw it here in Exodus or Deuteronomy, but greatly humanizes it in that in the book of Deuteronomy, God and in Exodus, God talks about your male and female servants, your slaves, not working on the seventh day either. You should not work them on the seventh day. Why? Because they too are created in the image of God. And you get this movement toward freedom, even of slaves, because they're created in the image of God. In addition to that, even further, your animals are not to work on the seventh day either. So interestingly, God also extends this Sabbath to animals. In other parts of the law in the Old Testament, God extends it to fields that are supposed to rest and lay fallow, so forth. So it's really interesting how God can just how he weaves the Sabbath and the rest into every facet of life for his people. Think about the wonders of Sabbath rest. I don't know whether you have ever in your life actually practiced a Sabbath rest. A couple of years ago, I went on a sabbatical. My wife and I went on sabbatical. And when we got back, we did our very best to put into practice Sabbath rest. For us, what that means is that on Sundays, of course, we have worship, spend time with God, as Martin Luther talks about, right, in his word, with the people of God. But for the rest of the day, we don't do any work. anything that we would consider work. Now, we have family over for dinner and we cook dinner for them. We do that. But, basically, like I used to mow the lawn, well, it's getting high. I'll mow it on Sunday. No, we don't do that anymore. You either got to mow it Saturday or it's got to wait till Monday. Can't do it on Sunday. Oh, that's a great day to catch up on wash. Yeah, we're not going to do that. We're going to have to let it pile up till Monday or Tuesday because it's the Sabbath. And talking with people that have kids at home, this is a real, real challenge because we have it so ingrained in us as a culture to have filled up 7 days with work. And so our encouragement has been to people that have children at home, if you can't make that whole switch, somehow in your week have a Sabbath time. That Sabbath time might be Saturday morning from the time you get up until noon, where you are just not going to do any work for those hours, none. Or it might be Sunday afternoon from 1 to 5, or whatever it might be. But to begin setting aside time during the week, we have freedom. The Sabbath, as we'll read in a moment from Jesus, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath, Jesus says. We'll read that passage in a minute. So this is not a rule from God that if we, for us New Testament Christians, that if we don't do this, somehow we're sinning, don't set aside that time for rest. However, Sabbath was made for us. And what Sabbath does, when practiced correctly, is it strengthens family ties. It strengthens friendships. Ask anybody who's married to a workaholic if their marriage would be better if their spouse took off 1 day a week. Wow, that would change things dramatically. So there you go. Let's take a look at Jesus' words about the Sabbath. And he has some interesting things to say. I'll just quote two of them. Jesus was always getting in trouble by the Jews for working on the Sabbath, doing things that they didn't want him to do on the Sabbath. Not that he was going against Scripture, but he was going against the man-made laws that had gone around Scripture as a hedge. In any case, in Mark chapter 2, verse 27, Jesus says something very interesting. I just quoted it before. He said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. In other words, God didn't create us to jump through a bunch of hoops to follow a bunch of man-made laws that these Pharisees had made up for the Sabbath, but rather the Sabbath was made as a gift for us, a gift to bless us, that we might be able to live as we were created. We're created in the image of God. God rested on the seventh day. This is a gift to us, a gift to say, we're not going to work today. We're not going to be enslaved to work today. We're going to be free. Free to be with family, free to be with fellow believers, free to cook out in the backyard and enjoy time with grandkids or kids. We're going to be free to just relax and be refreshed this day. Also, of course, free to go to worship this day. If we set apart that day, then we're free on Sunday morning to go to worship, to go to Bible class, to be in Sunday school, to soak ourselves deep in the Word of God, as Martin Luther talks about. Jesus also says, and I love this verse, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. He says, come to me. This is another twist on the Sabbath. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. The word Sabbath means rest. The word here in the Greek is not the word for Sabbath. It's a different word in the Greek. But nevertheless, the same kind of idea. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. In other words, you who are working and working and working to try to what? Prove your value? Working and working to try to prove that you are good enough for God, that somehow God should be happy to have you on his team, that somehow you merit forgiveness, whatever, all the reasons we work, so to prove that we're valuable, Jesus says, set that aside. That's a weary and a burdensome life. Come to me and I will give you Sabbath. I will give you rest from all that laboring to try to what? Prove your value. I'll give you rest from all that laboring to try to get into the God's good graces. No, no, no. You are already in God's good graces. God already loves you. You're already valuable. You're created in the image of God. Let me give you rest from all of that work that you've been doing to try to gain God's favor, to prove your value. I'll give you rest from all that. I love those words of Jesus there. So bottom line, there's a lot here in the third commandment. I've learned, of course, from Martin Luther. I want to give credit also. Learn from lots of other people. So Dennis Prager is very insightful on all things Old Testament, even though he misses the point of the Old Testament, namely Jesus. But nevertheless, I want to give credit to Dennis Prager, very insightful on these commandments, as well as many other things in the Old Testament. Bottom line, when you keep the Sabbath, you are, number one, affirming that there's a creator, that the world did not happen by chance, that there's a creator who created this world in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. That's why I'm keeping the Sabbath, to show you, to remind myself that there's a creator. I'm reminding myself and you that God created us to be free. I'm not enslaved to sin. I'm not enslaved to work. I'm not enslaved to anything. I am free. That's why I'm keeping the Sabbath. God created us to be in relationship with him. That's why I'm keeping the Sabbath, because he wants to have a deep relationship with me. That goes back to the Martin Luther explanation to the commandment. God created us to enjoy his creation, to bless his creation. That's what the Sabbath, there's just so many layers there to the Sabbath commandment. Well, I hope this has been helpful to you as you consider these commandments of God. Really, they're there for us to be able to live the way he's created us to live, and to have fulfilled lives. As Jesus said, I've come that you might have abundant life here on this earth. I want to encourage you to write us at eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. Let us know what you think about this podcast, other topics you'd like us to cover. Got a topic from somebody just a couple of days ago that we're going to be diving into in a podcast here very shortly. So thanks for that, the person who wrote me that. Encourage you to continue to write in with those ideas. Love to get those. Remember that those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength and fly on wings like eagles. Thanks for listening to the podcast today.